It was August 2003, and there was a seminary student from New York. And what she did, she lived outside of New York, but took seminary classes in New York, rode the train back and forth every day, and usually she enjoyed her commute. But in August 2003 was one of the hottest days ever recorded in New York. And as they're coming out of the city, all of the demands upon the power grid just short-circuited. And there was a blackout throughout the city, and those trains are electric. Shut down the train. And there they were. And at first it was, you know, they were laughing and joking. But it began to get hotter and hotter. No food, little water. And then it got dark. And as it got darker and darker, they began to hear, they were in a very bad neighborhood and began to hear like firecrackers. But they knew it wasn't firecrackers. They knew it was gangs fighting over control of the darkened streets. What would happen if they thought about those passengers on the train, thought about them as being easy pickings? And on that train, the fear became palpable. And the darker it got, the more afraid people got. And then, through the window, someone looked up and out, way away on a hill, a light came on. Just one single light. No idea why or what. But that light changed everything. It said they're working on it. It's going to be just a little while. I mean, objectively, that light changed nothing of their circumstances. But that light changed everything for them. That one light was a sign of hope. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is our light of hope, our sign of hope, shining in the darkness of the world. Now, in this scripture, John uses the word and light to express that power of hope. About the word thing, to understand that, it's helpful to know that word, breath, and spirit are the same word. So, in the beginning was the word, in the beginning was the spirit, in the beginning was the breath. Without breath, there is no spirit. It's all tied together. And in this, it's saying that Jesus Christ, in him, the Word, the Spirit of God, came to be with us. But more importantly, or more than I'm focusing on today, is the image of light. Light is life. Without light, there is no life. We can survive a little while without light, but in the end, we have to have light. Survive. Guy by the name of Dave went cave diving and through a cave up and down. And down bottom of the cave, there's a stream. They shine their flashlight in the stream, and there's fish in the stream that live their total lives in darkness. They're blind. They can't see light. They find their food by smell and feel. And Dave says, I thought everything needed light to survive. And the guide says, yes. They live here, but that stream comes from outside. That food comes from the light. And he said, even in the darkness, life comes from light. Light illuminates things, allows us to see things how they really are. Counterfeiters like to pass their bills off in darkened bars because in the darkness, the flaws can pass, but people who look at it with the light can see those flaws. There's a reason that robberies occur at night. Light cleanses. In Europe, there are these statues that have been there hundreds of, or a thousand years. And over the centuries, the grime has accumulated. This guy invented this little thing that concentrated light. And you sight that on that statue and poof, all the grime just evaporates. That light cleans those statues almost instantly. There are certain types of wounds that will heal better when exposed to sunlight. Exposure to sunlight stimulates vitamin D, which aids in everything from calcium absorption to stimulation of the immune system. Plus, there are a lot of people that have seasonal depression, meaning that in the northern climate, when the light gets short, they fight depression. And the cure is, go south for the winter. Find ways to have longer light. Light tells you where you're at. At sea, apparently, the ship, the biggest ship, has the right of way. And when you see each other's light, you know, you figure out who has to turn, and the biggest ship gets the right of way. Back in the days of telegraph, a battleship saw light and telegraphed, "This is Admiral Bidwig, something commanding a battleship. I see your light. Change course." Comes back the reply, "You do what you want to do, former able-bodied seaman, now commanding what Point West Lighthouse." The battleship changed directions. Light shows where we should go, it shows where we should not go. Jesus is the light. That means he shows us the way. He is the way. And the Christian faith isn't as much about what we do or what we believe as who we follow. And we follow Jesus. He is the light, saying, "This is the way. Come to me." When all is said and done, the Christian faith is that, Christian hope is that even when this life is over, there is life. Even in the darkness of death, there can be light. And it can be life. Life and life. Hospice people will tell you again and again about people at the point of death see a light. And I was with a family and things weren't going well. And this hospice nurse said, when people get close to death, they see a life. They see a light. And they should be encouraged to go to the light. It's just easier. Kenny's breathing changed after a while. And I was with him and I said, "Kenny, if you see a light, just go to the light. Your family will be okay. Just go to the light. Go to the light. And less time than it takes to tell it. It's like a light switch." He was gone. And I had not the slightest doubt that he saw the light and went to the light. And I believe that light is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the light, the life. This world is still screwed up in a whole lot of ways. But Jesus is that light shining in the darkness, telling us that we've not been forgotten. He's the light shining in the darkness, saying, "I am here. I am here. Come to me." He is the light that gives us life. There's a Bible college class where the professor took them on a field trip to, of all places, a cave. I don't know the name of the cave, but you go down and down and down, and there's this big auditorium, like this huge room. And he had all these students sit there and says, "For 5 minutes, we'll be in darkness." Now, 5 minutes doesn't seem like much at all, but all the lights, everything extinguished. Complete, total, utter darkness. 5 minutes doesn't seem like much, but in complete darkness, time drags. You could hear people breathing. Some of them began to breathe harder. And then you could hear first one person, and then another, begin to sob. And after 5 minutes, the professor began to speak. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of us all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then the professor strikes one match and lights one candle, just one small candle. And keep in mind, this is a huge chamber, an amplifier-sized chamber, and they were the center of that. But from that light of that one small candle, you can see the rock ceiling high overhead, the rock walls off in the distance. That one candle just seemed to push the darkness back. And then the professor had given each kid a candle, a person a candle. And one by one, the candles go from that one light to each other. And the light grows and pushes the darkness back, showing that the darkness has no power against the light. This is the light of Christ come to us. We can receive the light or be in darkness. And once we receive that light, we spread to others so that darkness can never overcome it. Accept the light. Spread the light. Be the light.